Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Talk Cocky with me. So 2 weeks ago, we all wanted to utterly kill everything remotely involving Gamecock football. Now we want to know why we're not invited into the college football playoffs, because we literally just defeated half of the teams that were supposed to be in there. You're welcome, college football nation. You're not stuck with the same damn teams this year.
Yes, we knocked two teams out.
Boom.
I'm loving it. I'm here for it.
We have returners of the shenanigans, Chuck, a.k.a. USC engineer, and the one and only Rick Miller, a.k.a. Wilson. That is mine and Jeff Carr's issue or fault, if you will. So I don't really... I mean, I guess it did start with the Arkansas meet and greet or the watch party. And I guess just every picture you were in there like that, and we were joking that you were Wilson. So here we are.
Yeah, well, I couldn't help it. I was late to the picture, and I was short. So.
Well, that's how all great nicknames start, though. I mean,
this is true.
I mean, you just can't, like, think of a nickname. It has to be, like, organic.
This is very true, little – I mean, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Saturday, we continue the streak of ending streaks. We ended the Kentucky streak. We ended the A&M streak. We ended the Tennessee streak, Clemson streak, streak of sucking. We finally ended that one as well, minus this year some points. So let's roll around the room. First thoughts on Saturday. Hit us off, Chuck.
I had two games on my mind. I was watching the Dogs and beat up on my fellow engineers, but I was also keeping up with our game, and I was a absolute basket case, because it was like, you know, we would score, they'd score. It was back and forth. We were down by 14, you know, and we came back, and it was just like, it was surreal, though. I mean, we scored that field goal with, what, 10 minutes to go in the ball game, and they had, what, two possessions?
Yeah.
Three, two. So, and it's like, when I was thinking about this today, I knew going into the game they were going to get their points. They were going to score points. It was outside of a, you know, I couldn't fathom our defense pitching a shutout. It just won't happen. Mm-mm. So they're going to get their points. But I started looking at it, I was like, our defense only allowed 21 points against that, you know. And I was just like, when we needed that defense to step up, they stepped up. And then my man Pete, he and his goon squad of special teams, I mean, that fumble, you know, it's just like.
Both of them.
Good things happen to good people. And I think this team is proving that. And they are working hard. They're staying the course. Excuse me. And it was just like, I was in the midst of like 2,000 Georgia fans. And I was jumping up and down, screaming, yelling at the TV, calling Dabo names. It was great. It was awesome. And I've never been happier for a bunch of guys and a coach in my life. Even when Spurrier had his five in a row, I wasn't as happy as I was for Shane, his staff, and this group of players because of what they went through throughout that entire year.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like this year, multiple times I've had that feeling, you know, like you were saying, during Spurrier, we were just good. So, you know, you went out there, you expected to win, you won, you're like, yeah, because we're good. And we're good now. I don't know that we have the depth that we had back then. I think that's been some of the issues we've had this year, injuries, all that, blah, 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 whatever. But there's been multiple times, like Spencer Rattler, one of them, with everything that he dealt with last year, coming in, all the crap that people's put on. Like, I'm genuinely proud for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm watching those games and seeing these guys, you know, stand up and everything, or whatever. Par for the course. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. but, you know, I'm seeing them step up and make these plays, doing historic things, you know, phenomenal last week, this week. just breaking records and all kinds of things. And like, I'm genuinely happy for those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I even posted when, you know, right now there's going to be some coaches come and go. That's, we're going to hit on some of that here in a moment. But I had posted earlier that as a grown man, I may cry that if Pete Limbo leaves, like, it's so, these people are just so likable in a way of not, hey, there are coaches. Hey, there are players. Let's go pull for them. Da, da, da. Like, I really want them to do well. I really want them to do well here and not go anywhere, but I really genuinely want them to do well. And when they do, like, I'm happy for them more than I am as a fan that, yay, my team won.
Yes.
Rick, you hit it up. What do you think about Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat the entire game. I mean, we gave up in the second half 7 points. We forced 3 turnovers, which took 3 possessions away from. And the biggest complaint that Clemson fans have been given is that they stopped running against us in the second half.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm really surprised they did too.
Well, 3 turnovers has a lot to do with it.
True.
When you have 2 turnovers on punt returns or kickoff returns, that eliminates any drive whatsoever. And then play 2 on the 3rd drive where he throws an interception. Again, you can't start a drive when it's not like it was. Yeah, when you don't have the ball, exactly. You know, it's like they went 10 or 15 plays, then turn it over. I'd see a little bit more understandable if they stayed away from the run. But half of their possessions were turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was the other thing, too. Like, as Chuck was talking about the how many points the defense actually did give up.
And yeah, only 21.
I realize we're not doing the, oh, well, if you take this away and if you add that. But really, you had the Shipley, that one run he broke. And
yeah,
put
that
almost
one drive.
The house. Mm-hmm. But I saw they had one 90-yard drive, and I think the other was like 75 yards or something. But the last 2 weeks, the defense has not gotten the credit that they deserve.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, everybody, oh, we can't stop the run. We can't do this. Last 2 weeks, we stopped the run. And you can say, oh, well, they still got this many yards. I don't give a crap about yards. We beat 2 top 10 teams back-to-back weeks because we said we are going to focus on the run.
That's right.
And we've got some DBs that can stop anybody. You know, are you going to get a catch here and there? Yeah, that's football. The plays are going to be made.
I remember before the Tennessee game, I said we have to sell out to stop the run and just keep pace with them. Keep firing. Keep the foot on the gas kind of thing. And then when we were going to the Clemson game, I said, we got to do the same thing. We got to make DJ, instead of run all over us, have him pass the ball. Because that's his weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had what, 13 yards in the second half or something? I mean,
mm-hmm.
It was crazy small. I mean, I forget. I think it was Stavi asked, what do we need to do to win? I think earlier in the week, last week. And the one thing that I kept going back to was the way Spencer played against Tennessee. We gave him what seemed like an eternity to throw the ball sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he could eat a sandwich back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really hurts me to give them somewhat of a compliment, but I think their front five is just as good as Tennessee's front five, maybe just a little bit better.
I think they're better. Yeah. I think they're better.
So I was like, if we could give him time to throw the ball, then he can ride that momentum. And that's what he did. And one thing that I did like, I don't know if it was by design or just Spencer being Spencer, but he would buy himself time. He would roll mm-hmm. out, get away from everything.
Yeah.
Where he could sit here, plant his feet. I mean, because he threw that rope down the seam to Juice, and I was just like,
yes.
That was effing beautiful. I mean, it wasn't like it was a rope. It wasn't on an arc. It was just like just a laser. And I was like, that was a beautiful pass. And he put it right over his shoulder in stride, touchdown.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Rattler, this game, he rolled out to extend like ludicrous? The play.
He ludicrous rolled out? Or
yeah. He rolled out versus bailing out of the pocket. He rolled out.
Yeah.
And he was able to stop and plant his foot and throw the ball downfield.
Well, and like you said, too.
I'm sorry. Just the past 2 weeks, he was throwing the ball like a lot of us anticipated
he was going to throw coming in.
In the beginning.
Well, he was stepping into the throws. Like you could see when he would step up into the pocket and mm-hmm. then boom, the ball was coming out. There was no hesitation. The ball was coming out 1,000 miles an hour and he would just step into it and bam and hit it. And what you were saying with the offensive line with last week, our Tennessee, as good as they are, it really kind of, which I almost question whether Tennessee really put a whole lot of pressure on us anyway. Right. Why they would set back, I don't know. Knowing that that's right. been one of our issues, knowing our top two running backs were out, why you would kind of sit back and say, okay, Spencer Rattler beat us. And he said, okay.
Let him up.
I think they held back a little bit, which benefited our line. But I've rewatched the Clemson game a few times and watched the highlights and everything. Their D-line basically tried to bull rush our O-line the entire game. And, of course, they got through on a couple, got some pressure, a couple plays here and there. But our O-line, it was so crazy. You could almost see them stick their heels in the dirt and are holding on for all of their might for as long as they absolutely could. And, I mean, you could almost see them just straining, going, hurry up and throw it. I got it.
That's right.
But they held on to it.
That's right.
They held the block, not holding, but they held the blocks and gave Spencer enough time. In Tennessee, he didn't have to worry about it. He stepped up in every one of those pockets. Boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
Saturday, there were a couple of times he had to roll out. There was a couple of times he had to step up and move the ball. And that's where he shines. Where right. earlier in the season when we were having – line issues, when he was having some confidence issues, he was running out of the pocket.
Rick said earlier. Yeah.
I think earlier on in the season, he was bailing from the pocket because he didn't trust the O-line to hold.
Yeah.
to hold their blocks long enough. And so he was in scramble mode, which, you know, basically when you're in scramble mode, the only option is to throw whatever side you're scrambling to at one third of the side of the field.
Well, he's got the arm to come back across, but you should not. Yeah.
Right.
You should not.
I mean, it's like I think the Tennessee game, I think that for me, the Tennessee game was the game that the offense slowed down for Spencer.
Yeah.
He didn't, not one time did I see his happy feet or he was like, you know, trying to – it was just like smooth, step up. Oh, I got to step to the side.
Well, he wasn't thinking as much.
Well, you know, right. It was just more reaction.
I think they knew they had to have that.
Right.
And Ben even said before the game that he told the guys, we're not punting on anything less than 4th and 5. So I think they went in with the mentality of this is one of the top offenses in the nation. To win this game, we have to score. We can't think. We can't go out there. We've got to go out, play ball. We've got to do this. And when those plays started hitting early, that confidence rose.
That's right.
And you could see it Saturday when he threw that pick six. He came off the field, and, of course, the camera's going to sit right on him, see how he reacts.
Oh, absolutely.
And he just turns. I don't remember who it was upside him. He kind of turned to him, shrugged his shoulders like, yeah, bad throw. And if you really watch the play, and even as the announcers broke it down, Clemson's linebacker made a great play. If Spence holds on to it for a fraction of a second, that's a 20-yard pickup. Or if he releases it a fraction earlier. Like, that was just the only time that he could have thrown that in the worst situation.
That's right.
I mean, great play by that kid, but and that was just the roller coaster of Saturday where was it Rush or Dial, whoever came around on the first possession that Clemson had it, should have been a pick six taken to the house, and then we throw the pick six, and you're like,
that's a 14-point swing right there.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is it, and it's so funny, all these Clemson, enjoy your 1 point. I'm like, well, I will, because that 1 point gave us the W. Thank you.
Look at the W. It's a W and an L.
Yeah, when you look back in the history books, because they like their history, it's not going to go asterisk 1 point. It's going to say W.
And, they're revisionist history. They only like certain history.
Yes, yes. And they like to cut the decades in certain ways. So they're like, oh, well, see, in these games we won.
That's right.
But, yeah, so they – if you really look at the game – we beat them.
Oh, no, there's no doubt we beat them. I went back and watched the game again.
We easily could have won by 2-3 touchdowns. Oh, no.
Okay.
It wasn't a 1-point game if you watched that game.
Right, that's right. The drop pick six. That would have been a pick six. You can't tell me it wouldn't have been a pick six. Or
the pick the in the end zone. I forgot about the backwards pass.
The football official in me, when I saw that, I was about to go out of my mind, and
I think we all were.
That to me, that was one of the worst calls, and that goes right up there with, was it Dondrell Pickens? We got called for a safety at Ole Miss when he was on the 2 yard line because the official looked and saw that line. It was the 3 yard mm-hmm. line, the extra point for the PATs, and to me, that was as bad as that.
Yeah. Well, and the problem, too, is, one, stop calling the play dead instantly.
Right. Let it play out.
When there's a question, let it play. We immediately scooped it, and a lot of people are going, oh, it should have been a scoop score. Well, they did have a guy there. I'll give it benefit of the doubt, say maybe we didn't score the touchdown, but it's our ball on the 20.
Yeah.
And right. Okay, if you want to say, well, his foot was on the 23rd, whatever yard it was, and his arm came back. All right, cool. So from shoulder to elbow isn't 2 feet. It's not a full yard. Maybe foot and a couple inches. So when he releases it, at the bare minimum, it is less than half a yard. The running back was on the other half of that half yard.
That's right.
And the ball was over his head. It wasn't like he was in front or anything. The ball's over his head. There's literally no way that was a lateral pass. And for them to call it instantly dead and then to review it and then go, oh, it's confirmed. There's just no way.
And that was an SEC crew too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Blindly in the blind.
Well, and like I said against the Tennessee game, I don't know if I said it on the podcast. I said it when I was watching the game. I've noticed over the years, when you have a team that is highly, highly ranked, especially late in the season,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing a game where they're highly favored and it shouldn't really be competitive, but the underdog has been a little bit more competitive than they should be, every call goes the higher ranked team, the higher weights way.
Yeah.
Then there's a certain point in the game, it's usually late in the game, where they hang around enough or maybe take the lead, and then the calls completely flip.
The calls just stop because.
Yeah. Well, so it's almost like, and I'm not saying that this is what actually happens, but it's almost like the conferences, the officials say, hey, we have to protect our darling child, the one that's going to make us all this money by going to the playoffs. And then it gets to a certain point to where they go, major upsets also help.
That's right.
You know, we may not get that extra team in the playoff to get that money, but when we have that major upset, people then still talk about our teams. They talk about our conference, and they're able to say, hey, well, any given Saturday in the SEC.
That's right. That's right. I mean, looking at it, and like I say, I'm an old high school football official, and I've known several – college guys, but this day and age, especially at big time college football like we play, there's no, I mean, you got so many camera angles, and the only camera angle that I saw, I was like doing the math and like, okay, he was foot was there and it landed there. I'm like, and that's backwards.
Yeah.
It was a backwards pass.
Right. And I'm just like, I was in Sanford Stadium watching the Georgia Tech game, and I saw that play.
I wasn't going to say anything, but.
And I was watching that, and I saw that on the big screen. I about lost my shit. I was like.
Oh, did they show it in there?
Yes. I was just like, you know, and everybody, I'd turn around. I was like, y'all, I'm a Gamecock. Y'all just going to deal with it, you know? yeah, I was just like, to me, that was, I think that right there would have been, I wouldn't say the turning point of the ball game, but I think it would have been one of the big turning points of the ball game. Because that would have been another, just a little, you know, into their heart. And honestly, Dabo can talk about whatever. I don't think their teams have the heart that we have.
Not anymore. Because they don't have the dogs that they used to have. And I know there was – and I was actually wanting to transition to this in a second anyway, so good transition for me. but before we get to the actual coaching carousel of our team, there are the rumors of potentially Dabo, Auburn. Wait, did Auburn just hire somebody today?
Yes.
Hugh Freeze.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been working my ass off the
butt. And you know what was part of, you know what's part
they
of
got
the
rid, They got rid of a coach because he supposedly had an affair.
Yeah, they he doesn't
now they're
have,
hiring a guy who had an affair with hookers.
Yeah, they he doesn't have access to like any of his social media. So
yeah, I saw. There were a lot of rumors with Dabo to Auburn, and then there's also been some, however true any of these are, there's also been some of him doing the fillers out there. I think if any of that's true, which I wouldn't be surprised with him, just the way that he comes off.
As much as, you know, he can sit there and talk about, well, they pay players, I'm a lead, blah, 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 blah. When you make $11 million a year.
Hey, take a pay cut.
Right. He would absolutely turn that into a pay raise to go to Auburn. But honestly, I think he's holding out for when Saban tries to retire, and he's going to make a run at that.
Well, me personally, we'll go around the table. Me personally, I think Clemson days are numbered, and I'm not saying this just as a Carolina fan. I think their days are numbered. We all have our thoughts and opinions on NIL and when they started.
Yeah,
but I think that's been his biggest issue with NIL is that it's going to put other teams on an even playing field.
It negates their previous NILs that they've had. Yes. Not wink, wink.
You know, when you have a car wash company, and you know, and a bunch of choir boys that get paid by the church for choir services,
exactly.
But I think he's starting to see the writing on the wall, and I think he's getting sloppy too a little bit with his coaching hires. To me, and again, I've never said a word to the guy because if I did, it'd probably be.
It would be the words that I was yelling at the TV that Audrey Tate didn't like me yelling, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and so I don't really know him on a personal level. I've seen the police video of when his brother got pulled over, and I've seen how he's reacted with that. So I've got a pretty good idea on what kind of a character he is, and he is a character. I think he's bought into he's the holier than thou member of Clemson football, and that he is the cult leader that can 100%. Do no wrong.
100%.
And I think he's been led to believe by himself that he can put anybody in at OC, he can put anybody in at DC, and they're still going to win because he's the reason they've won.
That's right.
And I think, too, is as NIL is coming in before, and I mean, hey, it worked for him, but before, even if we don't say anything about money or whatever, their recruiting pitch was, hey, come to the ACC. You're guaranteed to win the conference every year. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go play in the playoff, everybody's going to be healthy because right. we're going to walk through every
we
single
don't get beat up.
We're going to walk through every single game, and we're going to win every single game by like 70 points because every team's terrible. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a dog walking on our driveway. Okay, sorry.
It's not Rhett.
No, it is not Rhett that is walking on our driveway. So, yeah, I think that recruiting pitch has been, come here, let's beat up on these teams, stay healthy. You're going to put up some PlayStation numbers. And when
– Hey, Dawn.
Hey. And then after you've gone in and you beat the crap out of people, then go on to the NFL and enjoy your time. Come here. Yeah. And so, yeah, that too. I think he's starting to see that they're not getting that talent in like they've been doing for years.
Also, you know,
it's getting a level playing field.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. Did you see the, you had a, I guess, response to somebody asking about the poor passing over the last couple of years, you know, and he said, if somebody, you know, if they want to, you know, question how you do is they can pay somebody else to do his job.
Y'all keep going. Give me half a second.
Just the sheer arrogance and his
got defensive.
Yeah. And it's like he has this, well, we're Clemson. We don't use the transfer portal. And we're Clemson, and you're not going to come on an official visit if you don't pay to come here because you got to have skin in the game, blah, 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 blah. You know, and, you know, everybody say, well, there's always something up in them hills. And the something up in them hills is the new spring money. And that does and that doesn't go as far because it's legal now and you can be upfront about it and you can offer more. More things
more
and
more.
Right.
Well, and again, if you can go to now, let's bring the NIL into it now. You can go to Clemson and get paid X amount of dollars and not really play a whole lot of competition. Or you can go to an SEC school and get paid that amount now, or go to a Big Ten school and get paid X amount now. Mm-hmm. And pay or play a higher level of competition.
Right.
Rick, go with it. What's your thoughts?
About NIL? Or about
and Clemson.
Oh, Mr. Clemson. Yeah. I'm going to defer because I got some serious issues with them. They're holier than thou. Dabo, I when Chuck was talking about Dabo's answer to a question about, you know, well, if you don't like the way I coach this team, then, you know, pay somebody else to do it. You know, he's arrogant. He's been arrogant. I live up around this area. It's more and more like a cult. I mean, literally, I can tell you stories of me going in with Carolina gear to a Walmart and have somebody cuss me out because I say, excuse me, I need to get by.
What?
Or go to a restaurant and have
them. I'm in Greenville. I've had it before.
Yeah. Or have them chant Clemson. You know, spell Clemson out in the middle of a public restaurant. I mean, it's that bad.
Oh, I know. And usually when they spell out Clemson and when they get to that part where they go, oh.
Yeah. And
I asked them, did you forget?
Yeah.
No, I mean, well, it's
I always, I always say, like, I didn't realize this was a spelling bee competition.
Right. I mean, I've been fortunate enough with my jobs that I've been able to travel, you know, all over the country, all over the world. And I shit you not, I ran into a Clemson fan in Dos Reis, Brazil. I'm like, I can't get away from you, cockroaches. Ran into a Clemson fan in Osaka, Japan. And I'm like, you people are all over the place. You know, and it's like,
and they have to say something. They have and to let
they,
you know.
They have to say something. It's the same thing. Especially when we were in the five. Well, we owned the, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I got 365 days to talk trash. That's the number that I care about. Not 73 to whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always the thing with mine. And it's so funny because, I mean, I had some friends on Facebook that posted stuff Saturday and Sunday. Oh, y'all are so classy. And like Rick said, I can count. Actually, I can. I don't have enough toes and fingers to count how many times I've been in a restaurant and they just, out of nowhere, they just start chanting for no reason. No game on, no nothing, just start chanting. And I'm like, why?
Right.
What are you doing? And it's kind of the thing where I've been able to separate myself a little bit to where I don't get furious anymore when we lose because that's not good for me because you know, sometimes we do that often. But when they win, you're not getting a trophy. You're not getting a ring. Mm-mm. And I actually told them a couple years ago, I don't know which one. I guess it's 2018, whichever one. Clemson won the national championship, and a bunch of my friends were posting all over. Oh, yeah. And I come in, I said, hey, joke's on y'all. Y'all about to drop about $300, $400 on glasses and beer mugs and shirts and hats and all this other crap. I said, I got to save all my money. I said, joke's on y'all. Y'all got to do all that.
I mean, it's like last year when they came to Columbia, I sat in the end zone in section 11, I believe it was, right there. I'm looking at the big board, you know, on the home half of the end zone. And right in front of me where I sat was all the handicap spots, right? And, you know, they talk about, you know, class and Clemson man don't need to be introduced or what, you know, blah, blah. Well, these two Clemson guys sat in the spots. I was like, you guys aren't handicapped. Why are you doing it? And they're like, mind your own effing business. I was like, no, you don't have tickets for that seat. And he looked at me and I was like, you know what, big guy, I'll drop you a pin and I'll meet you in the parking lot about that. You know, I just like,
well, that was they want to talk on Twitter. About us. On Twitter today, there was a post where I don't remember who it was. And some Carolina people were commenting and this Clemson guy keeps going, oh, well, tell me what your address is. You ain't mad enough. Tell me what your address. I'm like, how damn old are you, man?
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
You want to fight over an internet comment? Like, grow up, dude. I don't even care what team it's for or what we're talking about unless somebody says they put coleslaw on their barbecue sandwich, which is just wrong. Just wrong. Don't do that. I had to do something. I knew it was going to tick people off. But it's so crazy. Like, why do you want to get into a physical altercation with people on the internet that you don't know over nothing?
That's right.
Nothing that doesn't involve you. You didn't lose. Right. Nobody scored a touchdown on you. And, you know, and I'd comment on it. I said, you know, it's funny. This guy keeps commenting to everybody else saying, give me your address. Give me your address. Give me. I said, he hasn't once said, hey, this is my address. Come find me.
That's right.
I said, he's Billy Badass saying, give me your address. And then he wants to mock you because you don't do it. I said, he hasn't once said, hey, this is my address. Come on.
That's right.
But, you know, he wants to word it in a way to where he looks like the tough guy.
That's right.
And of course, I told him I was not giving him my address because I'm too old to get an ass whooping.
That's right. It's like one of the things that whether it's because I've actually told some Carolina fans to shut the F up because you are embarrassing those of us that went to school here by the way you're acting toward visiting teams.
I'll never forget the first Florida game in Columbia with Spurrier.
I was there.
I think we won that game. Yep, we won that game. We were walking back to the car, me and my cousin. And, oh, that was that beer. And as we're walking back, we're behind a family that, you know, at that time, there was a lot of Florida fans that kind of semi-converted to Carolina just because they love Spurrier so much. Yep. And so it was a family. It was a husband, wife, and son and daughter. I don't remember what the split was, but two of them were wearing Florida shirts. Two were wearing South Carolina shirts. And we get to our parking lot, and I think they were in the same parking lot, but they walked a little bit further than we did. And there were two Carolina guys that were already sitting back down at their table, tailgating back, and a pretty bad hurricane had just gone through Florida, messed up some areas. And one of them goes, yeah, well, and again, these are small kids. Stuff we don't do in the South.
That's right.
And one of them goes, yeah, why don't y'all take your effing asses back to Florida? I hope a hurricane comes through and hits you. And when they said that, me and my cousin, we stopped on a dime and we just turned. And we just eyeballed them. And we both sat there, and my cousin goes, they say one more word. Like, I don't care what it is.
That's right. One more word. That's right. It's both sides. And I think, you know, a lot of the people that are like that don't have any vested interest in the university whatsoever. They're just a random fan. Yep. Just like Clemson fans, the worst ones that I deal with have never seen a classroom. Couldn't tell you.
I've never seen a classroom in South Carolina, and I don't plan on it either.
But you're not an asshole fan.
I am an asshole.
You're an asshole, but not
and
an
I'm
asshole.
I'm a fan.
But not two separate things.
Let's get that distinction right there.
But you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
It's like, they can't tell you who Tillman Hall is named after.
A racist.
You know, don't get me started on that. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'll be here all night.
How about I got thrown out of the Clemson-Carolina game because there's this Clemson, the guy that had the tickets beside me sold his tickets to the Clemson fans, and I gave him hell the whole next year.
I've only ever been to one Carolina Clemson game. I will probably never go back for the same reason that I told the dude I wasn't giving him my address. I just
– it's not worth it.
I don't have the personality to deal with that. I've got a really, really long fuse. But when it goes off,
yeah,
like –
because I was actually –
I can't put it back.
I was yelling for Ben. I kept going, good play, Ben. And the lady's like, oh, my God, what number's Ben? I was like, oh, Ben Tillman, the racist murderer that was the founder of Clemson. And my buddy, he's like, Ben, stop. I was like, did I say something historically wrong? Well, no.
You didn't.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.